Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Meet Nidhi Chinnani and open up a suitcase to another world. Welcome to All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 393 of the podcast with Nidhi Chinnani. Nidhi joins me to share Peshmina, her debut graphic novel, and one truly that should be celebrated, not just for its exceptional storytelling and gorgeous command of colors, but also because it's one of, if not the first, major graphic novel created by and about an Indian American. EW shared an exclusive excerpt of the art that I've linked to in the show notes so that you can get a glimpse of the gorgeous, beautiful art that she did while listening to our chat. This book, oh my word, so good. Here's episode number 393 of the podcast with Nidhi Chinnani. Welcome to the podcast, Nidhi. I'm so excited to talk to you about Peshmina.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so yes, of course. I'm so glad to have you. I'm like giddy on my seat though. This is where I'm glad we don't do a video podcast because to say that I'm excited about this book that you have, here I am jumping ahead. I'm so excited and I feel so blessed to get to talk to you. I just want to tell you that. But first, I want everyone else to get to meet you. So Nidhi Chinnani, can you please introduce yourself to the people listening?
So hi, everybody. I am Nidhi. I live in the East Bay in the Bay Area, California. And I am an artist, a writer, and a cartoonist.
Yay. And you have your debut book.
Yes.
Peshmina is your debut. So here is the part that I realized upon just picking up the call to talk to you, that I have known and been enchanted, we shall say, by your art in Peshmina for a while. Because way back in February, I came to New York for the SCBWI conference, their national conference. And whenever I come to New York, I always call up my friend Gina at First Second and ask if I can come for a visit. And she always says yes and always says, oh, let me show you the things we're working on. And during that visit, I think there were three things specifically that I remember seeing that weren't out yet that I was like, please, please, please share this with me when it comes out. And I'll go backwards because you're my special guest, so I want to end with the most special.
Great.
One was Spinning, Tilly Walden's graphic memoir, Spinning, right? Yeah,
yes.
Right? And one was, I think it was, it might have been, there might have been two. One was definitely The Dam Keeper.
Oh my gosh.
I know, yeah, right?
Just shut the door. There are definitely graphic novels out there that just make you want to just not do anything ever again because it's just like at this level that's unattainable, and Dice and Robert are unattainably amazing. At the same time, as much as it makes you want to quit, it also makes me really appreciate that it's there. You know, it gives you inspiration and hope, and it also just makes you kind of strive.
Yes. So, what a beautiful reaction. I loved it. I had a similar thing. It made me as a librarian feel like this is what we're talking about when we're talking about comics for kids. This is what we're talking about, the art form. I think I also at that meeting saw Cucumber Quest for the first time.
Which so I adorable.
I know. Oh, the color palette.
Yes.
Wild in that. And then I saw Peshmina, and Peshmina, I wanted to take from Gina. No lie. To see that in this beautiful, beautiful story that I can't wait for you to introduce to our listeners, the way, though, that immediately spoke, just flipping through, that we have this sort of two-tone color palette that suddenly burst into full color, and I didn't know why I hadn't read it at the time. There was just, you could tell looking at it, though, that this is part of the storytelling. This is deliberate. It's not like I was seeing an early proof that just, I don't know, hadn't been colored yet or not. To go from that moment way back in February to when I got that email from Gina saying, it's ready, I can't wait to send it to you. To me going, please, oh, please, Gina, tell me that Nitty is available to talk, because I can't even go without speaking about the amazing story through the not only the years of work you've put into it, but the editing that went into it, the vision, the many, many hands that made this what it is. You've got such a gorgeous book, not even a gorgeous debut, such a gorgeous book, Nitty.
Thank you so much. I definitely don't wish we were on video because I'm very schlubby right now. But if you could see me, you could see I've just had a smile plaster in my face. Just listening to you talk about it makes me feel very, very appreciative, because somebody like you, you come across a lot of books. So, you know, I always take those compliments to heart. They're really, even if it's somebody's first graphic novel, which, you know, I really do hope in many ways, there being no really major Indian American graphic novel out there, I'm really hoping that this is going to reach a community, my community, and introduce them to the medium. So, you know, anybody who, you know, appreciates the work of graphic novels, it's always, and specifically after seeing so many, can say such nice things. It's really, really, feel very good.
I'm going to deflect your compliment just to say, it's very sweet of you to say that, but I think that I read like a reader. I think that I read a lot. I try to read a wide variety of things, but there are things that speak to me that go, this is in line with whatever it is to be my taste. You know, we learn about our taste by experiencing a lot and going, oh, this is what I'm connecting with, or this is challenging me or making me question things or making me see things and be excited about things. And so Peshmina was that to me.
That's wonderful.
And you mentioned about, I think the word you said was that your community doesn't have a major Indian American graphic novel, but I, as a librarian, think in that way about my community, that I have a lot of Indian American children at my school, and how excited to see this book, and for me to see my children immediately, not just my we talked earlier off record about Mirrors and Windows, as we do with children's books, don't we? But not only did I see all of my students that will see this book as a mirror, but all of those other students that will see this book as a window. And I thought, this to me was, well, you've got the quote on the cover. This to me was the same experience I went through when I read American Born Chinese.
Yeah.
I went, this is a window for me. And to just experience your story, the way that Jean shared that beautiful story with us, was just, you did everything right, buddy. I don't even know. I'm trying to be articulate, when a person comes in front of me and I find I can't be articulate, it's just, I have a smile that I can't wipe off my face as well. So before we go any further, Nidhi, can you please, as best as you can, share sort of a summary of what Peshmina's story is?
So I have this elevator pitch that every single time I say it, I always feel that it's too short, but I'll give you my elevator pitch.
We've got plenty of time on here. Don't worry.
Yeah, so now I'm like, well, I should really figure out a longer version of this, because I feel like it was what, you know, kind of had to get prepared for it as I went through some of the beginning panels and speaking engagements that I was doing. But basically, it's a graphic novel about an Indian American girl who finds a magical Peshmina shawl and it allows her to learn more about who she is and where she came from. And that's usually where I end
it. That's great. That's wonderful. Because then what you've left room for, and I realize this is also something we were talking about off recording, what you leave room for is the reader to tell you what the story is about. Right?
I love that.
For me, and I think this is because, and we all are different readers, we all come at it from different backgrounds, right? I know that I bring myself to this book. For me, this story in a lot of ways was about understanding your parents and where they come from.
Yep.
Because we often, I grew up and reached a very seminal part of my life where I didn't understand my parents and couldn't understand why they would make the decisions they would make. And it was only later, I think, that I realized, oh, this is a universal thing. Many of us go through not understanding, why are our parents the way they are? I don't get it. And in this story, Priyanka goes through that same thing. Pri finds this Peshmina, and there's this, shall we call it like a supernatural quality to it, right?
Yes.
That brings her... Well, we don't really know at first. It sort of transports her to this place where it appears that there's this fantasy world where these animals are speaking to her, and she is transported from America to India. She's seeing these beautiful sights of India, and it's causing her to question, my mom is from India. Why didn't I ever get this growing up? Why was this withheld from me? And that sort of becomes what is the defining... challenge of their relationship is that Pri really seeks to understand, why have you withheld this from me? And that to me is such a universal question that even as a 36-year-old man, I still find that I am working through my relationship with my parents, saying, I wonder why you kept this from me as a child. And coming to understand and love my parents in new ways because I've been on that journey as well. So I think in that way, as an adult, you showed me such amazing things about myself, Nidhi. And so those sort of qualities are what get me excited when I see books like this for my readers, because I know that for my readers at age 9 and 10 and 11, they'll be experiencing much the same things that even I as an adult get to experience. So you've made a bridge for us.
That's wonderful. It's thank you. Yeah. I feel like I'm lost at how to respond to this. I guess in a way, it is what you said, that you brought this to the book. And it's interesting to me to hear firsthand, actually, you know, versus maybe somebody sending me a message, to actually have a conversation about how Peshmina affected you and how you read it. It's quite amazing, actually, especially because I feel I guess I was concerned that this would appeal only to my community and it would get pigeonholed for my community. And it's really wonderful to hear that within your own experience that you can read something outside of your experience and really get so much from it. And that's what, I mean, that was how I read. I read so many books from so many different perspectives growing up. And I always felt very much like it was allowing me to understand the world outside of my doors. And, you know, you just worry that at least as a writer and a creator of something that is a first, that potentially it won't reach a wide audience. And so it's nice to hear that even though it's very firmly an Indian American story, that it doesn't have to only appeal to that community. So.
Absolutely. One of the things I want to tell you, and I'm realizing now I'm having a bit of deja vu because I had a guest on previously, a middle grade author. Her name's Henna Khan, and she had
She did Amina's Voice.
Amina's Voice, Amina's Voice. And when I read that book, I realized it was a very similar experience, that only even more so in Pashmina, and I'll get into that. But in Amina's Voice, I realized there was a whole set of vocabulary that was unfamiliar to me. And so as I read it, I found that my senses were really awake reading it. I was reading it very closely with again, like very, very alertly, because there was so much that I wanted to make sure I was understanding. And that, to be able to lean in to a book that way and to really listen to the voice and the story is a really cool thing. And so when you mentioned that you were sort of unclear about whether or not the strong appeal might come more predominantly from the Indian American community or not, I will say that this book likewise, maybe even more so, had me on alert, because rather than, you know, in a middle grade novel, you have room to be able to sort of remind the reader constantly, here's this word, oh yeah, remember that means uncle. Here's this word, oh yeah, remember that means this. And in a graphic novel, we don't have that space, and nor would it quite feel right. You don't. We gotta keep to the authentic voice of the people talking, and Pri certainly wouldn't be explaining to the people in her family, oh yeah, remember, I'm using this term of affection for you, and this is what it means.
Right. I see what you're saying. That's very true. And I think it's also about economy, right? And
economy,
you have to be so economical with the words that you put in, how you put them in. Because there's almost this feeling with graphic novels that, not feeling, I guess, there's a technique that you have to understand and hone, where there's a certain burden that you place on the words and a certain burden that you place on the art. And you have to make sure you're not being repetitive on either end. So, yeah.
Yes. And so when you are repetitive, it's deliberate and it holds meaning.
Right. Exactly.
So, Pashmina, we're going to jump around the story. Okay, so I should set this up. So we mentioned that we're going to follow this Pashmina. This Pashmina is a character in the story. Mm-hmm. We follow this Pashmina. The Pashmina has a story to tell us through whatever. I'm not going to spoil that. Your ending is so good in this. It's insane. I wanted to like Instagram the entire thing, and I didn't. I exercised restraint. Very excited. It will be one that I will be like, I'll check this out to children and be like, did you read the end? Did you get to the end? Let's talk about it. Did you
see That's it? So wonderful.
I don't even want to mention. But Pri, she struggles with her mom, and why won't you tell me more about India, about your family, about where's my dad, many of these things. She's also struggling that there's a new baby entering the family. Her uncle's have her uncle, right? Is that where it was?
Yep.
Or is it her aunt's? It's her uncle.
It's not her actual family line. So that's one of the things that I explain in the back glossary, is that oftentimes you'll call a lot of people uncle and auntie. Actually, we are raising our daughter very similarly. She has so many aunties, and they're all funny. Just our friends, you know? I mean, and I think that maybe there's some concern there that she would be confused. But for us, we think of all of our friends as our family, kind of that chosen family. So it feels really it feels comfortable to me, because that's how I grew up. And I think it also feels really respectful. And I think that is partly where it comes from in my culture. And for Priyanka, Uncle Jatin is actually just a family friend, but She's never not known him to be her uncle. He was the first person that her mom knew, or the only person that her mom knew when she came to the U.S. So maybe she might not know that they're not related, but he's part of their family. It's kind of an irrefutable fact.
Well, that makes even, you know, that even drives home more deeply the fact that then when this family has a baby, Priyanka feels pushed out. There's these people that are close in her life, and she still doesn't know. She's being reminded left and right of the things that she doesn't know, the things she doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's this baby being born and some other things that are happening in her life that drive her to go to India, to go to this place that's calling her, and to see her mom's sister, who, there's so much I don't want to say. It's fine. I can say some of this though. So we know that when Priyanka finds this shawl, this pashmina, that ends up having this quality to it, this magical quality to it. There's a note in there from mom's sister, from Priyanka's aunt in that way. Mm-hmm. And so Priyanka at one point goes to visit this aunt, right? I'm realizing this whole time I'm going just to lead into one word with you. This is so funny. I'm so sorry about that. But
no,
where
it's
I was
so
going
fun.
With that is that, so she, cause she, anyway, she gets to India. She gets to India, and her aunt uses this word all the time to her, beta.
Mm-hmm. Right? Beta. Mm-hmm.
Which I hear over and over. And when you talk about that economy of words, and yet in the span of, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 pages, we see her use it 4, 5, 6 times.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that this is a word that I don't know, but yet I know this word. I know what this means. So I understand the way you're using both the economy of words and also the burden of the words you're choosing to make sure that each word is working to communicate in that story. I thought as a person that was so unfamiliar with many of the elements of this story, because they weren't parts of my culture growing up, I felt like I was so alert to it. And so I was a student reading this. I was a captive audience reading this. I don't know. I'm blubbering now. This is what happens.
So you're saying that you heard the word beta in your life? You heard it through the kids that you see come in through your library? Or?
I have never heard this word before, as far as I know.
Interesting.
But I'm willing to bet, much like, I guess the first thing that comes to my head is like, much like when you go to get a new car. And you get this new car and you're like, I'm the only one on the entire road with this car. And suddenly you realize that everyone drives that car. I'm willing to bet I have heard this word so many times being used with the parents of the children that I teach. And my senses just were not alert to it. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to hear it. And I'm realizing there were lots of words in this story, in just my experience with this story that perhaps for readers like me, where this book is a window, we will become more alert, aware of these words too.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's really interesting, actually. I wanted to make sure that, I mean, there's a lot of things that I wanted to make sure of when I was creating Pashmina, but I wanted to integrate Hindi into the text and into the way that they converse, both when they're in the U.S. and when they're in India, in a way that felt supernatural, but not supernatural, but very natural, is what I mean.
Supernatural, guys.
About
super.
How I put my words together there. that felt natural. And I never once had to make, which I give so much credit to First Second and the whole team there, I never once had to make a case of why I didn't want to include asterisks through the text. So, you know, every time a word that's phonetically written out in English but is Hindi appears, there's no asterisk underneath the panel that tells you what it is, but rather there's a glossary in the back, and that only really came about actually at the very end of proofing, where I think they were, you know, sending it out and people were encouraging me to think about adding a glossary. And so I went through the book and, you know, I pulled out, and we had, you know, I think one page that we could devote to it. So I had to fit whatever could fit in that one page for that glossary, because the, I think the page count had already been delivered to the printer, or whatever happens on the back end of publishing, I don't know. But I know I had one page. And so I really feel that that was a good move, and it didn't make me have to compromise on anything that I believed was essential to the text and to the story. And so I feel really great about how that part of it got integrated. Yeah. And, you know, that there's a glossary, and how that glossary also allows people. I think when you're reading the text, potentially people might flip to the glossary if they know it's there. They might not know it's there, and then that forces you to just live in that world, to assume and get from context or from exactly. The art, the panel, what's going on, and not, and just let go that you don't know the word. I read a lot of books that integrate different languages into them, and I can gather what I need to from the context, and it's not something that prevents me from moving forward, and rather it for me really makes me feel that I'm reading something that is giving me knowledge and giving me an insight to something that I'm not familiar with. And I love that. I find that really, really interesting and amazing, because there are so many languages and there are so many experiences and communities that I know nothing about. And it's through books that I really start understanding them. And so I feel that how I did that in Peshmina, at least with the support of my publisher, really came through the way I wanted it to, and also in a way that I feel respects the work and also respects the reader.
No doubt. Respects the reader, for sure. I didn't know, I was one of those readers that didn't know there was a glossary until I read to the end. And I felt that, I talked about being like alert to the words, being leaning in and learning, but it also allowed me to be transported. It allowed me to live within this world of the book.
That's great. Yeah. That's really, really great. That's exactly how I intended it to be.
This book is a gift. I mean, this book is such a gift. I'm leafing through it. I'm sure on the microphone it's picking up that I'm just like flip. Let me go back and ask you about the story. Let me ask you about where and how this story came to you. Has the story always had has the story always been what it is, about a girl learning about where her mom comes from by being in some sort of supernatural way transported there? Have you always approached it that way?
So one of the things that I think is really interesting about this is that the idea for this, I think, came to me when I was 10 or 11.
No.
But, yeah.
Oh, my word.
It was when my mom went to visit India, and she came back with a suitcase. And I opened up the suitcase, and there were all these things inside the suitcase. There were jewelry and candy and food and clothing, all these smells and textures and colors that, as much as I grew up in a very, very Indian community in Southern California, and my dad's family all immigrated here, I grew up with 13 cousins. And so we were part of a really big, strong Indian community. So none of the stuff, so I'm not saying that I wasn't familiar with India or Indian culture, but opening up this suitcase for some reason had this really significant impact on me, so much so that I felt that I was opening it up to literally another world. And that thought and that feeling stayed with me for so long. That's how significant of an impact it made. And I that is the root of where, as much as the suitcase in the book doesn't seem pretty major because the pashmina takes kind of place of where the suitcase's importance isn't really prevalent, but it's there. And that is what she has to open to get to that pashmina. And the trajectory of opening something up to land somewhere else and understand who you are and where you came from, that thought has been with me since then.
Wow. That's beautiful. Oh my word. To have such an emotional impact that had on you, that your mom's suitcase, that opening it up and just having a suitcase full of wonder, of something unfamiliar to you, to have that stick these many years and to be able to write from that an emotional place, I have chills. That's amazing. Okay.
I mean, I definitely think that for me, I like to noodle on stories, work them out, kind of. I'm working on my next graphic novel, and I've been thinking about that. There's a point when you make comics where after you've done the story, after you've done the thumbnails and everything's approved and you're pretty much greenlit to go, you just basically become a production artist. And so it's just really about inking the pages and filling in the colors. And as much as that doesn't sound incredibly amazing, it is when you're done with it. But in the middle of it, it's very much not something that's occupying all of your brain space. And so during the time that I was doing the final art for Pashmina, which was, I don't even remember how long it took me, but over the course of making and selling the book, it took me about 4 years to make. And so when I was in the production mode for Pashmina, I was already starting to think about my next book. In some ways, that's how I can survive through what seemingly a slog. And there's points where you just don't understand why you decided to do this with your life because it feels so painful. And at the time, I had a newborn, so we were getting very little sleep and I was on deadline. So I think that for me, when I come to a story, I want to have thought about it and lived with it for a while. And this one I lived with for a long, long while. It doesn't mean that I had every component at that time when I was 11. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm saying is that root idea didn't change when I got to sitting down and making Pashmina and writing it. And I'm really happy about that, but how it changed, how it grew and developed, I did that in combination with a lot of different people who were early readers and giving me feedback, including, and definitely not to make a small comment about this, but Mark Siegel, my editor, was a huge person in advocate in both making the book the best book that we could make it, and pushing me every single thing that I sent him, pushing me to try to get something more, to try to explore more, to ask me more questions. And that's what he does. He's sneaky in that way. He just asks questions, and he's a gentle, wonderful person and has the softest voice. And you don't really realize in the moments that you're talking to him that all of a sudden you're going to change everything that you just submitted and all this artwork that you might have spent like 5 months on. But he's found a way and he's asked you the right questions that actually make you want to change it. Because at least for me, I know in those conversations that I had with him, if I made the changes, if I went through the process, that I would come out with a stronger book. And I definitely think that's what happened.
There are so many questions I want to ask you, and I know our time is running close to out. Let me ask two like really brief ones, and then I want to make an observation about the book that the thing that I walked away from, the images that always came back to me, I want to say. But before that, let me ask a quick one. When you were coloring the art, when you were adding color, because of, again, when people see this book, they're going to see that the primary story is told through like this two-tone color. And then we move into whenever she touches or puts on the Pashmina, it bursts into full color. Right? And then there's another scene later in the book where we flashback in history that it's sort of these sepia tones. But mm-hmm. when you were adding color, what was your way of approaching? Do you work sequentially through the book over and over? Were you inking from front to back and then coloring from front to back, or were you doing everything at once? Did you save the coloring toward the end because it could lift your spirits up because it was so, you know, brightly colored, or does it even matter when you work on things like that?
I did. I saved it to the end. It's my favorite thing. My favorite thing is color. I love color. I love color in all of my work. And I feel that if you look at any of my illustrations, it's fairly clear, which is not very different than the work in Pashmina. But Pashmina has ink lines, and that's what's different than my illustration work. And so my process was to ink first, then do all the tonal pages, and then get to the color pages. And I kind of structure a lot of things in my life that way, where I save the best for last, because I really feel that if I get through all the stuff that maybe isn't that engaging for me, although making Pashmina was engaging, so saying that isn't necessarily fair, but it's not the same. I don't have the same relationship with that work than I do when I'm going into full color. And so I save the best for last. And so it was the last thing that I did, but it was definitely the thing that I was looking forward to the most.
Mm, yes.
And I kind of maybe might do that differently next time because I feel that, not that I was tapped out, but I was definitely in a different place where after you do any number of over 100 pages of anything, it can be really, really exhausting. But I definitely think that maybe I will do it actually the same way, because when I did finally get to the color, I was so excited about it that I really feel I took my time with it. So even though I was on deadline and I saved it for the last, I still felt really excited about it. So maybe it was kind of that last extra, I don't know, what is it called? Second wind that I got doing the color work.
The color work is just so beautiful.
Thank you.
There's just such life in it. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it, I think, sort of parallels so beautifully. This is the big thing I wanted to get into. The mm-hmm. way you use color mm-hmm. in her sort of day-to-day life, Pri is really struggling. She's really wrestling with a lot of things. And so to have sort of these gray tones fits that feeling that when color comes, it just feels like, here's the hope. Here's the excitement. Here's where we want to try to stay. At yep. least initially, that's where we are. And that was a really cool thing to use that device, to use color as a device that way. The other device that I really so strongly connected with was the images of Lord Shakti,
mm-hmm.
right? That they have this small statue of Lord Shakti. Is it that they pray to in the house? I want to make sure that I'm...
Yeah, they pray to it. So you have your own altar. Yeah,
right.
You have a home altar, and then you can also occasionally go to temple as well. But
absolutely.
I mean, at least for me growing up Hindu, we had an altar in the home.
So the image of Lord Shakti was one that was familiar to me. You had this, you had this at home. Yeah, this image of Lord Shakti at home. To take that image, that silhouette, that
mm-hmm.
just that design of Lord Shakti, the way that, and I won't go too far into this for readers who haven't read yet, but the way that you carry that silhouette to Priyanka and mm-hmm. through her journey, that to me, like, I can cry now talking to you about how that made me feel, but the thing that I have to bring up the parallels with that
mm-hmm.
is the way you use water for the front of the story
mm-hmm.
and becoming encompassed by, overwhelmed by, covered by water
mm-hmm.
and the way you use fire. and those things, I like, my word, those things, Nitty, were where I just like that to me, the storytelling strength of those tools. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, we'll just have to talk off air about certain things, but the way you use that, Well, I can do this. I can do this for my last observation about the story. The way you use water and fire and Lord Shakti, and you have a character say these words at the end of the story about the Pashmina that I think is a good thing for people, for readers to know that this is one of these, we can say this is a message that your readers will hear and will pick up from this story that's so beautiful. You wrote that Pashmina, a character says, that Pashmina will allow women to see their choices. You shall no longer be bound by fear.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that this story speaks to women, to expressing yourself, to what control you have over your voice, over your story, it was just beautiful. I maybe where I should end with asking about the story is just to ask you, what didn't I ask you that you want to talk about, Nidhi? What did I miss that is something you want to share with the people listening about your process or about the story? What's something that you want to tell us that I failed to reach?
You know, honestly, I feel that you touched upon things that I am super happy to talk about and was happy to talk to you about, and things that I didn't, again, like we had talked about before, that I wasn't aware that you would bring to the story, and especially because we are being very careful about talking about certain aspects of the story that for readers, actually for many readers, because the book isn't out yet as of our discussion. It's coming out next week. So I think being careful and not revealing too much is key. But I think if there's anything to leave this on, is that I just really appreciate anybody taking a chance on reading a graphic novel from a new writer and a debut. So, and anybody who brings it into their store or their library, I really just appreciate it.
Well, I'll be the first to tell you, perhaps I'm the first to tell you, there's probably already 30 people that have told you this, but I've already read Pashmina. I plan on reading it probably 8 or 9 more times this year. But Nidhi, I'm ready for your next book. I'm ready. It's time.
Well, give me another 4 years.
No, I'm excited to hear that you're working on something else. Of course you should be working on something else. That's wonderful that you're working on something else. But I'm excited to hear that. I'm grateful that you poured so much of yourself, of your story, of your childhood, your love for, we didn't even talk about your love for comics and making comics. But there's so much love thrown to comics within this story itself. There's so much, I think, Nidhi, that we've left open for us to talk about again in the future. So I look forward to your future because it means that there will be more books for our readers to enjoy and for us to see where you'll take us next. So thank you. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
I will leave you on this, as I always love to leave us with the readers. And you're going to meet your readers. And it's the most thing, most giddy thing for me. So Nidhi, tomorrow I will see a library full of children. Is there a message that I can bring to them from you?
I really wish I had a great answer for this. And I am a former library clerk, and I don't know what your library's rules are, but in the library that I worked at, we had a max number of books that you could check out, which was 50. And so if I were to tell you to share with your kids something, try to check out the maximum number of books. All times. That's it.
This podcast is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland. You can subscribe to the podcast and access the archive of over 350 episodes at All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton, a semi-weekly podcast about picture books and the people who make them, and Books Between, a podcast hosted by Karina Allen, helping to connect kids ages 8 to 12 and their parents, teachers, and librarians with the books they'll love. Our theme music is by Emily Arrow. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect any ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, if this episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment on allthewonders.com or rate the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook, Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that's a very good thing indeed. Coming up on the podcast, Monica Brown and John Parra share Frida Kahlo and Her Animalitos, the pair's third picture book together. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.